The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live in the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go wherever you may be. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Coming up at 7:20, we will explore who's to blame for this loss. Online, Cake's getting the majority of the votes.
If you did a blame pie, I'd get a big chunk, big old heaping helping of that.
We'll get into that at 7:20. But joining us right now, a guy who has been covering the Commanders for years and years. But I'm wondering if this was one of the most emotional yo-yo games for you, John, particularly the last 5 minutes of the game. I mean, you talk about up and down emotionally. What was that like for you?
I mean, it was, I don't know, how would you describe the last few minutes? Because you think it's going one way, it's going another, it's going one way, then they're going to tie it. And it's like the most remarkable, like, could you imagine if you're a Dallas fan and you end up going to overtime because you can't defend a pass play like that to McLaurin, right? Like, how do you allow an 86-yard touchdown that? And so there were just so many swings. But even that one, like, even after that one, I'll be honest, the way that game went, you kind of had a feeling the extra point was going to be missed.
Oh, yeah, because especially he had missed one earlier, and the 51-yarder, you
correct.
Can kind of – but, like
– correct.
Following well, up on
looked
that,
good on the 51. The 51 yard, yeah, you can miss it.
It was great.
It didn't look good at all. It didn't look good at all.
Was there any talk of Gonzalez maybe playing like halfway through the week if Seibert wasn't 100% ready?
No, there wasn't any talk of that. And Seibert said he felt fine. It certainly didn't look like the same operation. The snaps were low. There were a couple. Tyler Odd has been really good as a long snapper. There were a couple snaps that weren't as good as he's been. The first, I think, on the extra point miss, it was low. But it was also, it's not like that's the first time that's happened to in an operation like that. And Tress Way is a great holder and had it down. So does it mess up the timing? I don't know. He pushed it left. Like, he still got to the ball, right? So, you know, but there wasn't any talk of that. But you have to wonder, like, was he fine? Because he certainly kicked a lot better before the injury than when he came back yesterday.
I think it's similar to what you saw with Jaden, right? When you're injured, you don't get the reps. You don't get the reps.
Yeah, you don't get the reps, but he had the reps this week.
Not the same.
You don't.
Yeah.
I know, but it's, you know, I don't know to how much that affected all of it, but it certainly it did not. I mean, listen, you can look at anything with that and wonder, because it didn't look good. Like, he looked good all year.
I know, he looked like a totally different guy.
Yeah, it did, yesterday did not. I mean, again, the 51-yarder that was missed was was bad.
Of course, I tweeted about how great he was, and then he had his worst game.
You cursed him. All right, let's get to the larger thing, John. We've been talking about this for the first hour of the show, but want your opinion. This offense has sputtered.
Yeah.
So I went through three and outs in the first nine games. They only had 12 three and outs. They've had 12 in the last three. If you looked at punts in the first nine games, Tressway only had 19 punts. He's got 17 in the last three. You watch film, you look back at games. What is kind of your larger picture takeaway of what's happened with Cliff Kingsbury's offense?
So a couple of things. One, first of all, like, it's one thing. Pittsburgh and Philly have good defenses. Not that that's always an excuse, but it's a reality. Like, you're facing a better defense. You're like, okay. You know, and they Philly, they really got stopped. And Pittsburgh, they, you know, 27 points, whatever. And there were opportunities. There were, and, like, Pittsburgh, I didn't feel as bad about because they had more opportunities. It was just like, you missed this throw, you dropped this one, you missed this block. Like, there were several plays where that game is different if one of those plays is made, right? So, but the point is, they were there to be made. And so that felt different. The last week, it was bad, and then yesterday it was bad. And Dallas does not have a good defense. They do not do a good job stopping the run. They did yesterday. So to me, so much of it starts with the run game. And that has been non-existent the last few weeks. And again, I know you're facing good teams, but if you have a good offense, those are the teams you are allowed to do well against still. So I think it starts there. And they're getting put into worse situations on third down. And, you know, there's very little in the pass game that has looked the same as far as the rhythm and the timing of everything. But I do think some of that is, like, the run game is not as effective. They're also not running as much tempo, and they did a little bit yesterday, but they haven't been able to get to that as much. And whether that's a byproduct of not being in good situations, not converting on third down, those are issues because they seem to like to do that after third down conversions, right? So, you know, those, it all adds up, but it's, you know, watching it again, like, Dallas, Philly didn't do it as much, but most of the last however many games, Chicago, Giants, Pittsburgh, like, they're blitzing more than they do in other games. And Dallas did, I think they had 16 five-man rushes yesterday, which is their season high. Now, on those, like, sometimes at times it felt like the Tampa game, where you felt like the line was getting fooled more than as much as sometimes definitely beaten, but they did the same stuff. They're chipping the edges. The backs are in, you know, for blitz pickup. One time, you know, the back doesn't see the blitz coming off the edge. And so off the other edge. So, like, but I think to me, it goes back to the run game. It has not been good, and it's turning them into a one dimensional team. And then it's getting into more third and longs, and then they're blitzing more. And whether it's forcing a quick throw, a sack, a scramble, whatever. So it's certainly way out of rhythm. And, you know, again, you can look at it and say, oh, Philly's really good, short week. This was not a short week. This was and this was not a good defense. And this was not a good run defense. And they didn't get it done. And I know they ended up with over 400 yards, but, like,
that's, I mean, we know the true story. Yeah, they had 9 points with 4 minutes to go.
Hey, John.
They were averaging 3.9 yards per pass midway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah, not great. A team has never needed a bye as much as this Commanders team, which they're getting in week 14. And that's insane that the NFL has byes that late, but that's another story. But
3 years in a row.
I know, it's crazy. But you touched on the running back room, and, I mean, scary scene with Austin Ekeler being helped off the field. I mean, that both teams kneeling at midfield. I mean, terrifying. Hopefully he's okay. But Brian Robinson gets folded over early in the game. They released Chris Rodriguez. Like, that running back room going forward, at least for the next week, it just looks, there's a lot of question marks there. How do they attack that going forward?
Well, you can bring Rodriguez back.
Yeah.
That was designed to create a spot for Javonte Jean-Baptiste. And they, you know, he can go right back to the practice squad, but now you're going to need him. You know, depending on what we hear about, I mean, it did not look great with Ekeler. I know he went to the hospital last night. They said out of abundance of caution, but, you know, that was a scary scene. And, if nothing, I mean, it would be surprising to see him back out there this weekend. But with Robinson, I don't know. What we know is that he, you know, he's had multiple injuries this year, and he couldn't go back in the second half. So you have to wonder about that. So Rodriguez can come back in, right? And you still have McNichols. So they are, and they have Michael Wiley on the practice squad. So they have options. It's just not, you know, it's not the same. And you know that it's a hit, and it's the wrong time. Plus, the other problem is too, the line is banged up. That to me is as big a problem as anything. And Biadasz was evaluated for a concussion, but he's been dealing with some, you know, foot stuff. And Wiley is in concussion protocol. That is another one. So there's a lot of issues there. You're right. Like, they desperately need a bye. But I think it also highlights, too, like, just how the need to build really good depth for any team.
Look,
it's hard to do in 1 year.
The bottom line is that it's a regression to the mean. Lost to a bad team. It's been trending this way. You can, as JP points out, you can even go before, like, with the Browns, like the Bears. You know, we had to pull that out of our butts. So it is what it is. But I do wonder, and Cliff seems, he doesn't seem to love, like, talking to me. He gives you the bare minimum, right? When you guys ask Cliff, I think he's been asked a few times about the criticism of, like, Line and Terry up in the same spot all the time. Like, I'm sure he has a rationale. Like, he's not a dummy. But what is the rationale for that sort of thing? Because other teams seem to target their stars. I'm sure we want to target our guy 10 times. They talk about it every week. But it doesn't happen. We seem too predictable. I know what they were doing yesterday, John. They were, like, forcing the run because Dallas is so bad against the run. Well, I mean, it became obvious that about, you know, two or three possessions in, that wasn't going to work. So I don't know. Like, what are some of his – can people press him? I just press him a little bit.
On the Terry stuff, the one thing I know, first of all, like, last year, he was a lot more balanced with where he lined up.
Mm-hmm.
He had a worse year. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about that. And I know, like, last week...
Yeah, but just
week,
move him around. He also had a worse quarterback.
He did, but, like, the point is they weren't getting the ball to him, and it was not about as much where he lined up. Like, even this year before last week, like, the targets have pretty well been there. And a lot of... When talking to him, he said that, like, he has more routes that he can run from that side now than he has in the past, which is why he wasn't as big an issue, right? But having said that, like, if they're doing things, can you motion him from right to left to then put in, you can run the same stuff, but can you motion him that way and do that? And, you know, it is a ton of times on that side. And
John, he's only been targeted in double digits once this season. That was against Arizona, where he was targeted 10 times.
I just think it's too predictable, John. I just think it's too predictable.
Let me say this. Like, the offense had been doing well up until lately. So it hasn't really been an issue until lately.
Yeah, because teams catch up. They catch up.
That's fine. That's what I'm saying. But, like, to point to early in the year, the offense was scoring 30 points a game. So
his
targets were not as big an issue. Now it is. And so... You're right. Like, you can now, he shouldn't, like, yesterday, I'd go to him early in the game just because. And that's because, like, you should, you know, the importance of him to this offense is pretty big. So, yeah, there are definitely things you can do differently. I'm not saying not to do anything differently. I'm just saying, like, for most of the year, the offense is doing pretty well. So,
yeah, but
know,
maybe for the last four or five.
It's been the last couple, right? I mean, like, you know, the Giants game, he had two catches for 19 yards. That's it. They moved the ball very well. It wasn't an issue for 2 for 19 because other stuff was going well. And
it's still kind of an issue, though, don't you think, John? Because he's our best player.
No, it is. It is. But I'm telling you, like, they were scoring 30 a game with him doing the same thing. So lately, it is an issue. And so I don't think I can go back and say, well, in these games, he didn't get enough. They were scoring 30 a game. Now, like I say, the last two, it's been more the bigger issue.
Look, I don't think that's the reason why they lost. I think they're just forcing things. But I do think we're too predictable.
The run game is the run. That's fine. The run that can be, that could well be, and that's something that, like the whole Kingsbury stuff. One game, it was a Philly game. Well, now it's two games in a row where the offense has looked bad to me, right? And so now you have to start to question a lot, and that is absolutely something you have to question. And I'm not trying to say don't do anything different at all. I'm just saying it's really the last couple games where it has been an issue, where not only is he not getting the targets, but they're not moving the ball. So, like, now it's, you know, it's just like, you know, if you're a basketball player and you're not getting your points, whatever, like, if you're winning, it's okay, right? Because you're winning. And that's the goal. But now you're not. And so now you have to look at ways to invigorate an offense that has stalled. And one way, again, to get him more touches is to move him around, maybe a little bit more motion and do things. Because you do see, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is moving all over the place, and they're putting him in the backfield. I'm not sure that you put Terry in the back for the run like that. The point is, you know, are there different things you can do with him? But I will say this. More so than his targets, it is the run game that is the issue. They run the ball. And so, like, if you do that, now things how do other things look? But that, to me, is the biggest issue.
But that's part of the targets, John, because when you're just forcing the run, then you're not targeting your guy.
Well, it's not about forcing the run. It's about they can't run it. You can't be one-dimensional. Like, they can't run
the ball. Well, I think they're forcing it. Yeah, they can't run it. So move away. Pass to your stud. Like, utilize Jaden more. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's fine.
John, the frustration is boiling over.
I know, but if you can't run the ball, like, that's fine. Yeah. Get it to Terry. They still can't run the ball. Like, you have to be able to run the ball, and if they don't, they are not going to turn this around.
John, always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
that's John Kime, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com.
Even if you win and Terry only caught it twice, okay, that's fine. You won. That's the point. That doesn't mean he still should be targeted 10 times every game,
Definitely.
Even in wins. Like,
it's only happened one time this year.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? We won. Yeah, we won. We scored 30 without it. We could have scored 50 with him.
Yes.
Like,
use him. It's generally not sustainable to win games when you're not involving your best players.
Yeah,
you got to involve your best players. It's common sense.
Yeah. And I think they are forcing the run. And yes, you have to be able to run, but if it's not working, you got to figure something out.
All right, coming up next, who do you blame for the loss? It's three in a row, but they lost to the Dallas Cowboys. They were prohibitive favorites. They were facing a team that had lost five in a row, that had been giving up 35 points per game, that was being gouged week in and week out on the ground. That had Cooper Rush, who a couple weeks ago threw for 45 yards. That team beat Washington yesterday. Who do you blame? Is it Cakes, who said it was physically impossible to lose to a Cooper Rush-led team?
I'm bracing myself over
here. Is it Cliff? Is it Jaden? Is it the defensive line that can't pressure Cooper Rush? Who do you blame? We'll take your calls next at 800-636-1067.
So, all right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I was actually kind of proud of myself for this post on social media yesterday, which has over 50,000 views. Because I'm not great at putting up the thumbnail pictures, but EB, I put this up. Who deserves the most blame?
That was a good one.
And it's got Cliff Kingsbury on the top left.
Yep.
The kicker, Austin Seibert, on the top right. It has Cakes on the bottom left, and then it has Noah Brown pointing to Cakes.
You left out somebody else that should be in that mix.
All right.
RG3 was in the stadium yesterday as the legend of the game.
Okay.
So maybe it's just bad juju.
But it's a legendary RG3. Week for Always Bet Against Cakes because
the brand is so strong.
He broke the Capitals.
Cakes.
He broke the Caps.
The brand is on fire.
I mean, Ovi.
It's not a great brand to be behind,
He says Ovi never gets hurt, and then he gets hurt that day or that night. And now the Caps haven't won since that happened.
That's correct.
And then he said it was physically impossible. And Cakes has done that a few times. He did it just last year with Tommy DeVito.
I did.
He hasn't learned his lesson.
Yeah.
Said physically impossible for Cooper Rush to beat the Commanders.
Sometimes you're stubborn, JP, and you don't learn lessons. This is the way
you go
through life
sometimes.
Do we have
at least the dunce cap? Because I know Cakes doesn't want to do anything.
It's over there in the corner.
Cakes, would you be at least be willing to wear the dunce
no,
cap?
No, I take no blame for what happened yesterday.
No, but just for you don't. It's not your fault.
Just like, do a bit.
No,
just
no.
To resuscitate an
it's
old
not
bit.
To say it's your fault. It's just to say you were just so tragically wrong about it.
Well, I mean, everybody picked the Commanders to win. I wasn't the only one. I was just the one with the most conviction behind it.
Exactly.
That's
I thought they would win, but I thought it would be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It was way more dangerous than it should have been. Micah Parsons was all over the field. You basically wrote him off as an afterthought.
I said he was a ghost because he was in the last game. And then apparently he decided to play yesterday. Maybe he just gets up for the division game.
So for me, the majority of the blame pie goes to Cliff Kingsbury. I'm going to put 60% on Cliff Kingsbury. The offense, it appears, has been figured out. When you have a punter who for games wasn't even on the field, like we were goofing, like, man, trust Wade, he's just collecting free checks.
Sure.
What and now all of a sudden he's on the field six times a game. The numbers are this, I've said it a few times, 19 punts in 9 games, 17 punts in the last 3. And then you can do the 3 and out numbers. It's the same. The offense appears to be broken. A lot of it is the running game. So let's put 60% on Cliff. I'll put 20% on specifically the running backs and the offensive line together. So whatever that is, the running game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 80%. I'll put 10% on Jaden and 10% on the defense.
I think that there needs to be more in their pass protection schemes, too. Because you see, you can see pre-snap, a wave is coming. And we just don't have it addressed. So maybe, like, we do better as the game, like, towards the end of the game, they make adjustments. But it takes too long. It takes too long to make adjustments, in my opinion.
So who are you putting the majority of the blame pie on?
Well, it's hard. It's difficult because Cliff looked like a genius if they ran better. They're also tied together, right? Because if they ran better, then it'd be 3rd and 2, and then Cliff could go in his bag, which he left somewhere, probably some chick's house.
I think he has a long time girlfriend.
Huh?
It's probably hot.
Yeah, some hot chick's house, his bag. Go find it. Somebody go get it for him. But when it's 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, now we're a lot more limited. And that all these 3 and outs are coming up.
But that's why I put a little on Jaden because he's not making the throws consistently that he seemed to be making earlier in the year.
I think he's being rushed a little bit. Yeah, look, he's still wearing NFL diapers. It's still his first go around. They're adjusting. And I think he could play better for sure. I still am convinced he's a Hall of Famer. No issue. Love him. Can't wait to watch him play every single week. But he hasn't played his very best football, no doubt about it. But again, that's why it's hard for me to just blame Cliff. It's all tied in because if they ran the ball better, if they run blocked better, we'd run better. I mean, the runners, they're not dumb. They're getting stuffed, right? It's not like they're running into the wrong hole or something. They're getting stuffed.
Well, guys in the offensive line are getting beat up every single week.
Yeah, the offensive line, we got Trent Scott in there. Who's Trent Scott?
Give me the Cakes blame pie.
I did exclusively coaches. 40% Kingsbury. 30% goes to Joe Witt. I don't know how he's skating on all this because Cooper Rush had the easiest day I saw for an NFL quarterback in maybe years.
I think they dared him to beat us, and he did.
And 30% goes to Dan Quinn because he's the top dog. So he has to take some of the blame, too.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. Who are you blaming?
0% of the blame.
Who are you blaming on the field? We'll save that for 8 o'clock.
0%.
All right, let's go to Gary, Upper Marlboro. Gary, what's up?
Good morning, Junks.
What's up?
I'm putting the blame on the offensive line.
Kind of starts there.
These guys are injured. The Cowboys played without 2 All-Pros at the guard positions yesterday, and they controlled the line of scrimmage with their running game, which not a lot of people are talking about. They ran the ball effectively yesterday. And I think it kept the defense off balance. I'm blaming the offensive line, and I'm giving a little bit of that to Jaden also. Jaden is going to have to learn to play under stress. And these last 3 weeks, he hasn't really played well. But like you said, he's in diapers, and there's a learning curve. But I put the blame on the offensive line. This is the same story that we've had over the last 3 or 4 years. I think the injuries have definitely hurt them. But I think Jaden, over the course of these weeks, has really bailed out the offensive line several times with his scrambles to the right and playing off scripts. So I blame the offensive line. They got to get that together.
Kind of starts there. I basically agree with everything you said. Yeah. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Let's go to, I can't even read it. Is it D? D, what's up? You're on with the Jocks.
How are you? How are you guys doing? Good morning, Junkie.
Oh, this is D, the one that loves DQ. Remember, this she called D in last week.
Oh, yeah, okay.
She thinks he's like sexy with that turkey neck he's got.
Yes. She loves him.
So we will not be blaming him, that's for sure. He doesn't get the blame prize, that's for sure. Let's make that clear. Okay, so everybody, all the above, including you, Cakes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Blaming you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Take a slice of the pie. And I'm also blaming all of the fans that were calling in about the past history, name, and all that stuff. Take a slice of the blame pie as well. They are the Commanders. Let's move on. Okay?
All right. I think, too, now we're 12 games, too. Like, we've seen a much larger sample size from everybody involved. Their best win in terms of record-wise is against the Cardinals, who are one game above 500. All their wins are against poopy teams.
It's true.
They should have had another win against a bad team yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Could have added it to the pile.
Right.
It's true. It would have felt better about
the
season.
To be honest with you, it's kind of why, like, I was just, the emotional roller coaster in the last 5 minutes of that game was unreal. And that made it a little bit more palatable because at least they brought some excitement and I didn't feel like I wasted 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I kind of did because we lost, but I watched losses anyway. At least it made it a little more interesting. But I knew when we played the Ravens, even before we played the Ravens, I predicted it. The Ravens were going to be, like, we weren't going to beat them. We're not in their class. Like, we weren't Super Bowl contenders. Like, so I knew we weren't going to win a Super Bowl this year. I thought we were a playoff team. It remains to be seen if we are.
This is all just gravy. Team.
Oh, it's going to be a battle for the playoffs now.
We may or may not be.
But here are their wins.
I mean, but if they are, they're going to be a quick one and done-er, or maybe they sneak out one win. But, I mean, you don't. We're not winning anything this year.
Give me the most impressive win. They've got 7. Beat the Giants. That's a team that's 2-9. Beat the Bengals. They're 4-7.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Cardinals, 6-5.
I think the Bengals and Cardinals
that's
obviously
the only
are our
best
team
above 500. Beat the Browns, 3-8. Beat the Panthers, 3-8. Beat the Bears, 4-7. And then the Giants again, 2-9.
The Bengals and Cardinals are the two best wins on the sched. At this point. And not super impressive. I mean, the Cardinals.
But who cares?
Seattle yesterday looked terrible.
But who cares? Let's just say it was flipped. What if they had beaten the Ravens and the Steelers, but they had lost to the Cardinals and the Bengals? Like, who cares how you get
it
there?
It just tells you.
You got to count them up.
No, but it kind of tells you where you're stacked in the NFL. And we knew this, but I think there was a little bit of a rush to judgment. We're ahead of schedule, and maybe they still are, and just kind of getting carried away with the 7-2 start.
There was euphoria from the start.
Yes.
From that 7-2 start, people got the sugar high.
And then started looking at the schedule, too.
Everybody thought, seven wins a start, they're going to have 11 or 12 wins.
Right.
You started banking wins. Banking wins is dumb. I can tell you that right now.
You were back patting on 11 wins.
I'm going to go on record and say I'm pretty sure I'm not going to pick the Commanders to beat the Titans. I think the Titans defense is going to come in here and batter Cliff's offense.
That'll be rock bottom. I mean, this is bad today. It'll be a lower bottom.
The Titans, but they're weird. I think they give up like 26 points per game, which is pretty high, but their yardage per game, they're second in the league.
I know.
Like here's the thing. Levis is a buffoon.
He's begging you to win games, too.
It's hard to bet on Levis, but
he was sacked 7 times in the first half yesterday.
Yeah. But he does hit deep balls, which against this secondary, you know what?
It's terrifying.
Let me find out if Lattimore plays, because that's – if I did a real blame pie, look, I want to spotlight Cliff Kingsbury. If I did a real blame pie, I would include the defensive line. I would include the corners, because – I think you tweeted, I totally agree. They've got corners that sometimes are in position, but they have an uncanny ability to be in position and not knock the ball down.
That's why I tweeted this about St. Juice. He's got the worst ball awareness. Like, I don't think he's the worst corner I've ever seen. I've seen way worse. He's often right there.
Right.
He doesn't turn his head or he turns it too early. Like, he's so and Pete Haley, after I tweeted that, we love Pete. Remember Pete when he used to live here?
I remember Pete.
R.I.P. Pete Haley.
Love me some Pete Haley.
He moved now, so he's like out of our world. He's
like EWOD to you.
Yeah. He DM'd me, though. And he said, just to your point, because I had forgotten this. Remember, it was publicized when he was drafted.
Drafted by who? Who was he drafted
by? Ron Rivera.
Right. The bigger takeaway.
He had, in college, he had zero interceptions in 30 games. He has one interception in 49. He's played 79 games up after high school, and he has one interception as a DB. You'd think... you get hit by a meteor more times
than
that.
I'd like to see the one interception, too.
Yeah.
I don't remember
it. Probably was a gift. Probably was a Hail Mary. Like, how does he only have one interception in 79, in eight, basically, what is that? What's 49 plus 30, Cakes? 79?
Yeah,
basically
79.
80 games.
But here's the best part.
Got one pick.
EB, you don't have to worry about it for that much longer. Because he's not going to be on the roster that much longer.
Wow.
All of these Ron rejects that are still left, they're going to be filtered out in the next year or two. Like, St. Juice is not going to be on the roster in... When's his rookie deal up? Like a year?
I don't know.
Like, he's not going to be here long term.
I mean, I don't care.
Forbes
I know.
Gonna be gone.
You're always looking long term. I'll have cancer by the time they figure it out.
Yeah, I look long term.
I like to look... I'm living in the now, baby.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm living in the freaking now.
I'm a long term guy. You're short term.
Yeah, like, you're okay with the Wizards losing a million games every year forever. That's great.
No. There's an end
game. It's horrible. What were you going to say?
I know we're trying to find, you know, who, biggest blame pie for yesterday, but I'm sitting here thinking, who played well? Did anyone besides Luvu play well yesterday?
No.
They were bad, we were worse.
Nobody.
Sure.
Maybe Tressway played okay. He had some decent punts. Outside of that, I can't think of anybody that deserved to win that game yesterday.
We talked about it during the break, Drab and I. Two very unserious teams were on the field.
It was
in Landover yesterday.
It was a comedy of errors. And JP brought up a good point. If you were introducing a European to the NFL yesterday and you showed them that game, they would never come back. The execution as a professional was just horrendous.
The Cowboys were trying to give it to them. They had good drives early in the game that ended with a blocked field goal, a doinked missed field goal, a fumble, a punt that was blocked.
I just don't understand.
When you have all those things go against you, you usually get drummed.
Here's what I don't understand. They knew, Joe Witten and his staff knew, that there were two interior guards missing, that they had backups playing. You're not sending pressure throughout the game to try to rattle Cooper Rush? I don't understand.
Well, that's part of it, but Payne needs to
understand the game.
Payne needs to be an impactful player like he was a couple seasons ago. Let's be honest. Daron Payne, a couple seasons ago, look like a beast. Where's that Daron Payne now?
I wish I knew.
Quiet. Makes one play a game. One play a game. One play a week. Daron Payne makes. Whatever it is. Let's go to Rob in D.C. Rob, what's up?
Yo, what's up, Joe?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, man.
Good morning.
Who are you blaming the most?
The blame fire. Everybody done hit the nail on the head as far as there's so much going on with this team. It's kind of hard to put the blame pie on one person. But in yesterday's game, the blame pie going the head coach for not going for two when you got all the momentum right there. The other team is like heads down, you know, tails in the behind, and you just scored. You got the momentum. You go for two right there. I'd rather lose
you.
By not making the two than lose by missing a damn extra point.
Well, yeah, and Jaden had converted a fourth down just minutes before, and they have an amazing fourth down conversion rate on the year. I'm sorry. I'm going for the kill shot right there, as Mo
but hold
said.
Hold on. Even if he did, they're still probably going to return the kick for a touchdown.
Come on.
What do you mean, come
by
on?
By the way, Dallas, here's how...
I mean, well, it doesn't even matter.
We talked about
kicking
teams,
out of bounds,
the teams being kind of dumb and unserious. The second punt, the kick return by Dallas on the onside, That dummy scored.
Yes.
He left the door open. Now, the door's open just the smallest crack.
But right.
All he has to do is fall down on the 5-yard line.
Obvious.
Game's over. They showed that big oaf McCarthy on the sideline like, what are you doing? You're supposed to fall down there.
Yeah.
Like, what was happening yesterday? We were living in a bizarro world watching that
game.
No,
it was a terrible game.
Hey, bank local, cheer local. And business every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. Welcome back on a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Commanders fall to the Dallas Cowboys 36-24. They were once 7-2. They are now 7-5 with the Titans next. We're hitting the skins, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now. Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies. You get 10% off. Remember, Don't Sleep makes you great. A couple of things as we talk about who to blame in this game. All right, so we spent a lot of time talking about the offense, but as Cake says, the defense. You allow Cooper Rush to go 24 for 32 for 247 yards, two touchdown passes, only sacked one time. His quarterback rating, traditional passer rating, was a 117.6.
You know what his career quarterback rating is?
I'm going to guess 80.
81.
Yeah.
81. So you let him go for almost 40 points above his career average.
You also let Rico Dowdle, the most pedestrian running back in the NFL.
Yeah.
Rushed for 86 yards on 19 carries. The defensive line just had a subpar day. We've talked a little bit about the corners that just aren't doing enough. That's why they brought in Marshawn Lattimore. So we'll see when he plays the impact of Marshawn Lattimore to the defense. But right now, when he's not on the field, I think a lot of the things that we talked about before the season, they're all kind of coming to fruition, right? Where did we have questions? We had questions about pass rush. It's been better than expected with Dante Fowler, but yesterday, no pass rush. We had questions about their secondary, proven to be true. We had questions about the offensive line. It's been shaky of late.
Does Lattimore, does he need my Theragun? Because I'll send it to him. If he needs a, how is this the world's worst hamstring injury?
Hamstrings, if it's a bad tear, that could take 4 or 5
I mean,
6 weeks.
If it's like, look, I understand Dak had his torn off the bone, so he has to have surgery. He's out for the rest of the year. But I mean,
you just don't want to come back too soon.
I mean, Nico Collins was out for 4 weeks with a hamstring.
Yeah, I mean, you're just they're delicate, man.
I still blame Cliff Kingsbury the most, and this isn't a narrative that we made up. And I'm with you, Cakes. I didn't want to give it any oxygen, but we have NFL Network on in the background, and they had a little headline right on the bottom. And I can't remember, I'm paraphrasing, but it was, has the league caught up to Cliff Kingsbury? It's a real narrative. Year after year, it's happened. Until he disproves it,
now
it's going to be brought up.
Yeah, so I had JP during one of the breaks look up, and he did, where they rank in like for running the ball on first down. Actually, we run the ball on first down third most in the NFL, which is, I think is an indictment. But then as JP points out, the Eagles are first. But they're just much better at it.
I mean, they've got Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley.
Right.
Saquon Barkley ran for over 200 yards yesterday.
Look, in a perfect world, you want to run the ball a ton. But when you're, and I get why they wanted to run the ball, because on paper, we should run the ball against them. They're terrible against the run.
Well, they do have a quarterback that runs, but I did find it interesting. So on the season, Eric asked me to look it up. They are third in running the ball on first down. So we're talking about predictability.
It just seems so predictable.
So we've talked about predictability of Terry McLaurin, and obviously this is somewhat predictable if you're third in the league running on first down. But in the last 3 weeks, EB, it's even more. Now, it's just slightly more, but in the last 3 weeks, they're running it on first down even more, 41%.
Right. They're becoming more predictable. And we're getting second and longs and third and longs, and it's just too much pressure. Like, the defense, listen, I had a lot of problems with the defense. I can't really blame them yesterday. They produced the football a bunch of times. They weren't great by any stretch, but they produced the football. It gave us great field position. The offense is what lost this game.
Yes.
And the special teams.
I put up a question on...
I can't absolve the defense.
I put up a question on social media And I said, what happened to the Commanders' prolific offense? And people started saying, what do you mean prolific? But it was prolific for a bunch of games this season. Now, when you really break it down, the last big output that they had offensively was against Carolina. Because the Giants game wasn't bad, but the last five, Chicago, the Giants, Pittsburgh, Philly, Dallas, the offense has certainly not been what it was in the first seven games.
Yeah, I think Jaden took the league by storm. The league's adjusted, and we've regressed to the mean a little bit.
And a lot of people point to the injury. I'm not buying the injury stuff. Jaden's injury.
Yeah, I didn't really blame that either. I said last week, I didn't think it's the rib. Guy's been slain. Guys, we have these announcers that say things that just make no sense. Yeah, Greg Olson was talking about, you know, all of a sudden has his velocity back this week. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Is that tilting you? You tilting your face off?
With no statistical proof.
People just say stuff.
Yeah.
He did look a little more spry running. I'll say that. He looked a little more spry. But they have so many issues. And listen, Jaden hasn't played his best football. There's no doubt about it. I just think they're rushing his process. Guys aren't wide open. I mean, you see what he's having to do. I mean, like the Noah Brown drops where he's like blanketed, basically. Well,
they struggled until the end against a porous defense. The Titans defense they face this upcoming week, they allow 170 passing yards per game and 106 rushing yards per game.
Cliff's going to have to find his bag, as EB said.
I'm still picking
best
us.
Best of luck to you, Cliff.
I'm still picking
us. Trying to figure out that defense.
We're due theory. I'm going due theory.
I don't know if I'm buying into the due theory after what I saw yesterday.
I got to see if Lattimore plays. That's a factor. I'm on the fence on who I'm going to pick.
I might pick
just to be different than EB because I think we have the same record. And there's got to be a difference point at some point.
I'm 100% picking us. We're so due to break out. It's ridiculous. Let's go to Rick in D.C. Rick, what's up?
Okay, great.
Hey, Rick.
First of all, the special teams let us down. I mean, you had two return picks, and then you had two missed extra points, and you had a field goal miss. And then what's wrong with De'Ron Payne is he don't have Jonathan Allen beside him, or he don't have the two edge rushers that he had in the past. And then we also lost to a sorry Dallas team back in the past when they was, 1-11, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And then don't forget about the Thanksgiving game.
Oh, they've definitely had disappointments in the past.
Division rival games, they're always difficult.
So you blame the special teams the most, which makes sense. I didn't even throw a special team. My pie was flawed.
I don't even count the seconds. That was on an onside kick. I mean, it's just
the first one, and I will say the answer called that. It almost looked like he kicked it off his ankle. It was a shank. The 51-yarder he missed or whatever yardage that one was.
No, but I think he's talking about the return.
Well, I know. The return, too. That's all part of special teams.
The return.
The
guy made, sometimes you have to credit the opponent.
Made an amazing play. That spin
he
move. That
spin made.
The entire coverage
that
team.
Looked like an attackman behind at X, behind a goal, with that little turn he did. It was sick.
Because usually when you go backwards, that ball's getting stopped on the 10 to 15-yard line, maximum. It's not getting brought
somebody
to the house.
Somebody on my timeline was like, oh, but it was the bobble that screwed us. And I go, no. But I understand that bobbles screw up the timing, but that doesn't always equal a big return.
No, he made
more
a play.
More times than not, the bobble, you get screwed.
He made a play that I don't know that I've ever seen.
He's running
at half speed, then does a spin move, and then sees a lane and just makes a house call.
Yeah. He was terrifying me every time he touched the ball. And I normally I'm like a B. Mitch guy. Like I like guys catch it.
800-636-1067 is the number, talking all about this Commander's latest loss to the Dallas Cowboys, 36-24. Coming up next, Cakes, you're going to have to pay a penance. We're going to explore what to do with Cakes, who said it was physically impossible to lose to Cooper Rush.